reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We've probably all heard of the process that goes on in our psyche of hand-eye coordination, basically eye-guided hand movement. And for which reason, most researchers now prefer to call it eye-hand coordination. And so it's the coordinated control of our movement based upon input from our vision. And it's involved and it's been studied in such things as moving solid objects like wooden blocks, archery, sports performance in general, music reading, copying, even making coffee and tea. The fact is that if I want to move this microphone, I have to see it, and I mentally and physiologically reach for this and move it based upon what my eyes are telling me. And it's very important to have these two things working in tandem, your eyes and your hands or whatever other body part, but usually it's hand and eye. Without this coordination, you'd be flying blind in life, which if you stop to think about it is not a fun thing to do. And they need to work together, and it's rather interesting. It's not just saying you need both. It's saying, yes, you need your eyes, and yes, you need your hands. That's not quite enough to say that. It's they have to be coordinated, and the hands are based upon what the eyes say. Now, it's true, you can feel your way through things and so forth, but all told in life, in the vast majority of cases, we function by eye-hand coordination. Well, I think this phenomenon in our life can serve as a very good analogy for the balance and coordination that's needed between thinking and doing, between prayer and practice, between contemplation and action, between festivity and work. We need both of these things in our life, and we need them ordered in a certain way, just as eye-hand coordination is ordered to the input from the eyes, so too the balance between these two things and coordination between contemplation and action is ordered towards the vision, the contemplation, the thinking provides us. And this gets to a classic distinction in our civilization between activities that are meaningful in themselves, often referred in philosophical terminology as immanent activities, and activities that are useful for something else, often referred to as transcendent activities. In the case of meaningful activities in themselves, there is no other reason for doing them than their own worth and value. Okay, they are worthwhile in themselves. They're not things done for a purpose beyond themselves. And so these would include things as enjoying the arts, spending time with a friend, walking in the country to enjoy the beauty of nature, learning in order to expand one's understanding of the world, pondering great truths, praying, celebrating great feasts in the liturgical year. All of these things function in our life as activities that are, in a sense, useless. They don't put food on the table. They don't cure a disease. They don't make something. They don't build a house. But they are not worthless because they have great value and meaning, and that's why we do them. And our life has those kinds of activities. These activities are kind of like our eyes. They give us a vision. But we also mentioned that there are activities that are useful for something else. They are activities that are directed towards satisfying their needs for food, shelter, and clothing. They include the world of work, tasks that we must accomplish, serving the needs of others, skills that we learn to get something done. And these latter activities follow God's command to fill the earth and subdue it. Right? We're called to build civilization. We use our gifts and talents and exercise skill to build civilization, to cure diseases, to alleviate poverty, to make a living, to lend assistance to people, to help those in need. They are based and connected to the inherent dignity of human labor, which John Paul II spoke about a lot, especially in one of his encyclicals, Laborum Exercens. These activities are like our hands, right? And so the Lord did tell us, fill the earth and subdue it. But he also gave us another command. How about this? Be still and know that I am God. And he also gave us the psalmist who said today in the very psalm we read, psalms often get a short shrift in the liturgy. We speak about the Old Testament and the gospel or the second reading, but there's great wisdom and meaning in the psalms. If for nothing else, we are singing in the kind of useless but worthwhile activity of praising God for his many blessings and expressing to him the many feelings that come in life. And we read in the psalm today, or sang it, one thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. This is one of those useless activities, but yet so worthwhile. Simply to be here to worship may not get anything done, but it is worthwhile in itself because we are connecting to God and rendering to him the homage and recognition that he deserves as God and to Jesus as our Savior. And the activity is indeed powerful and meaningful. It may be useless, but it is not vain, therefore, to spend time every day with God in prayer because we want to deepen our relationship with him. It is not vain to explore Scripture and the Catechism to savor the clarity of the truth that is there. It is not vain to sing God's praises in his house. It is not vain to gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. In the same way, it is not vain to read in order to learn, to enjoy art, to be moved and uplifted, to spend time in nature, to be just surrounded by beauty, to think in order to explore the deepest truths about all of reality. These activities give us sight. They give us ideas. They give us vision and show us the goal so we can move the hands of our work and our choices and our free will to rightly build our personal and collective world as we fill the earth and subdue it. So the trick, though, is finding out how to get this coordination, this hand-eye coordination in life. You know, remember, it's not just we need the eyes and we need the hands. We need the coordination of the hands to the eyes. And it's not as if we just need activities that are meaningful in themselves and need activities that are useful for something else. We need the useful activities to coordinate with the vision that our other activities provide us so that the pressing concerns of life can be dealt with in the light of a particular view of things, a particular body of truth, a vision of life and this world and the next. And our decisions, therefore, are judicious and well-made and serve God's purposes. And so that's why it's so important that we do this. I was a good example of something and how this may fit together. I happened to be on a trip. I taught overseas in Spain for some summers, as I've mentioned to you. And we came in Cordoba, which we might pronounce Cordova, in Spain, to a interesting building that at present is a mosque with a cathedral built in it. And why that happened was that, as you may remember, in the Islamic invasions of Spain in the 7th century, they conquered the area, and there had been a church there which they razed and built a mosque. But when Spain reconquered their own country in the Reconquista, then they just took the mosque, which had beautiful architecture and different things from all over the Mediterranean in it. They just built a cathedral right in the middle of it. And it's rather an interesting thing to see. And I learned about this, that actually there were sites of worship on this spot going back to the Iberians, the Celts that lived in Iberia. Then there was a Roman temple. Then there was a Christian church. Then this mosque, and then the cathedral. And so I just told the people I was with that, you know, I'll catch up with you in a while. And I just sat there, and I prayed in this site that had been a religious location for probably 2,000-3,000 years. People had come here and encountered the divine. And I just wanted to be in this place and contemplate that fact, that I was in a sacred place that goes back 3,000 years through multiple religions, culminating in the religion that I live by, my Catholic faith. Now, that was a worthless, useless activity. Didn't do anything, but it was worthwhile. It gave me a connection with human religious experience. It gave me a connection with my faith. It gave me a connection with history. It gave me a connection with a people. And you know, it might have been useless at the time, but in the end, I think it enriched me in such a way that it necessarily improved the way I relate to the world, to people, to multiple religions across the globe, and to the history and life of the people in Spain. And that's the way it is. These useless activities are meaningful in themselves, but they end up inevitably bearing fruit. And part of that fruit is the vision that they give us. And so we shouldn't fear wasting time, so to speak, worshiping God or reading or praying or thinking. You know, because in the end, even though they're just worthwhile in themselves and should be done simply because of their value or spending time in nature or with friends or before works of art, nonetheless, they will inevitably reap dividends and will inevitably make a difference. And so let's not neglect either the eye of our life or the hands of our life. And let's also realize that they must be coordinated so that what we do is based on our vision. And let's, you know, work to get this spiritual, this intellectual, human hand-eye coordination, if you will, in our life with both balance and connection in proper order. And then I think we will live a life. We won't be flying blind, but we will be flying knowing where we're going, seeing the big picture, and directing our actions exactly where God and reality and the truth would have us guide them. And nothing but good can happen when we do that.